Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Let's talk about the shooting outside that Streeterville theater that wounded a tourist on Sunday and has a neighborhood on edge and nervous. Downtown Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins joins us. Brian, thanks for joining us this morning. First of all, anything new from the police on what happened?
Yeah, the investigation is ongoing. We have a significant amount of video, just literally hours of video that needs to be poured through, you know. It's a laborious task to collect it and then to analyze it, you know, to find those 5 seconds of valuable information, you know, within an hour of footage. So that's ongoing. The detectives do have some very good leads. We actually had violence interrupters who are paid employees of the city of Chicago, by the way. They work for us, and they were on the scene at the time this happened. Some of them have yet to be interviewed. So we do have some pretty solid leads, and I think it's just a matter of time before we identify the individual who fired this weapon.
This happened Sunday night right across the street from the AMC River East movie theater, and there's a history of problems. Is it in the area or specifically people inside that theater who are coming out, Alderman?
Well, you know, I will say this to give the AMC theater management some credit. They've cooperated with us about as much as they possibly can. They know they happen to be a target, a rallying point, if you will, for teenagers who organize on social media and they want to get a group together. And then they have to ask themselves, where do we meet, right? What's our point, right? And for whatever reason, they're picking that location in Streeterville, even though, generally speaking, the AMC theater isn't letting them in anymore. They have security guards, which they've hired. They've increased the number of security that they have on staff. And they don't let large groups of unaccompanied teens come in anymore. But that doesn't stop them from picking that as the location where they're going to meet. And so they show up there, and then, you know, things like this tend to happen once they get to a critical mass of numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, they had about 50 on Sunday night. In the summer months, we see it as high as 200 to 300. And, you know, that's when it gets really difficult to manage. But why they picked this particular location, you know, is anybody's guess. You know, there's other spots that they sometimes pick. Millennium Park is a favorite. North Avenue Beach in the summer is another popular spot. 31st Street Beach or by the Planetarium and the Shedd Aquarium along the lakeshore is another spot they often pick. But, you know, they're teenagers. They're impulsive and they do things for their own reasons. And, you know, trying to stay ahead of them is a challenge for the police.
I guess this is not a new problem for the theater. Last June, they implemented a required guardian policy for any theater goer under 18. So they've had issues before, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Like I said, this particular group was actually congregating in the lobby by the escalator before this incident happened, and they were kicked out. So AMC security did what you would expect them to do, which is to, you know, to take action and get them out of the theater. But that clearly didn't solve the problem because then they congregated on the sidewalk, and that's where the fight started. We're still not clear exactly what the fight started over or who started it, but a fight started, and someone in that altercation chose to remove a handgun from their backpack and fire shots, and that's how the tourist was struck.
Scary that it happened in Streeterville. Scary that it was like 10 after 8 on a Sunday night. Now, you have said that this situation requires a much more serious response than the mayor has been willing to give it so far in dealing with young people gathering downtown. What do you mean by that, and what should he be doing?
Well, for one thing, he could allow a hearing on my proposal to lower the curfew time from 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the downtown area. To allow unaccompanied minors who gather in these large groups, you know, for the police to intervene, not necessarily arrest them, but to take them into custody, bring them to the nearest police station, and hold them there until a responsible adult or guardian comes and picks them up. We think if we are allowed to do that, that would be very effective in stopping some of these large groups from gathering before they engage in violence. And that really is the problem. It's the escalation. You know, they start off with 20, they wind up with 50, then, you know, the numbers grow, and then they start running up and down the streets, and that's when the violence starts, whether it's just fighting or actually using a handgun, which was the incident that just happened. And the police tell me that they're seeing an increasing percentage of backpacks have handguns in them now. It's a volatile situation. When you see these groups of young people, you know, you see a lot of backpacks, and you ask yourself, how many of those backpacks have a gun? You know, 5%, 20%, 50%? We don't know for sure because we're not allowed to do stop and frisk anymore. But the estimate from the police officers that I've talked to is about 20% of them likely have handguns. Hmm. That's a staggeringly high number. That's a lot of weapons in a volatile situation with impulsive young people. You know, 13-year-olds don't have good impulse control. They do dumb things. That's one thing I'll agree with the mayor on. He says they do silly things. You know, they have poor impulse control, and anything can happen when it spirals out of control like that in a large group. So what we need is the ability to move in before the bullets start to fly. And the only way we can do that is with a curfew law that we can enforce. And my proposal would lower it to 8 p.m. And the mayor doesn't support that. And he's got it bottled up in the Rules Committee, and I've been unable to move it past his opposition.
We are talking with Second Ward Downtown Alderman Brian Hopkins about what happened in Streeterville Sunday night. And Alderman, I'm sure you feel the same way. I hate that this was a tourist. It hurts our image everywhere. And also, this really hurts all of downtown at a time when weekend foot traffic has been picking up, you know, since the downturn of the pandemic. And it's a bad time anytime for this to happen, but what do we do to correct the larger situation here, the bigger picture, which has to do with the image and reputation of our city and our downtown?
Yeah, we have to take the problem seriously, and we have to put it in the context that you just mentioned, Bob, and that the Sun-Times editorial you know, so starkly lays out. If we lose downtown, if downtown spirals out of control and becomes a place that people are afraid to visit and that no one wants to live, you know, Streeterville is a residential neighborhood as well. I lived there myself for 20 years, and it is a neighborhood. And if people choose to move out and go elsewhere because they don't feel safe in their home anymore, there goes the economic engine of the city. There goes the source of our tax revenue that we use to try to fund all these social programs that can potentially address the root causes. So it becomes a downward spiral. And, you know, the concern is we're in the early stages of it right now. You know, I don't want to be pessimistic. I want to be optimistic and see the glass half full. And as you mentioned, we're seeing indications of a turnaround in downtown as it starts to emerge from the losses during the pandemic. We're seeing pedestrian traffic counts on Michigan Avenue going back up for the first time. The vacancy rate, which, you know, stubbornly stands around 29%, is starting to drop slowly, you know, much more slowly than I would like. But nevertheless, it's a reversal of a trend that we were fighting for, you know, the 5 years of the pandemic, if not before. And things like this are a setback. You know, we can't afford it. It creates national news every time a tourist gets struck. And this woman who was hit by the gunfire Sunday was here for a convention with her family from Connecticut. So it creates that image of Chicago that we've fought so hard against for so many years, you know, that Chicago is a dangerous, violent place. And it only takes one incident like that to wipe out, you know, months of good news. Mm-hmm. And that's really the situation we're faced with right now.
Well, the mayor announced a year ago that he had created a 40-member Downtown Economic Growth Advisory Committee. Is that the group that should be dealing with this now? And what do we know about that committee?
Yeah, I don't know too much about that committee. You know, that's oftentimes, you know, window dressing. It's a a PR-based response to a problem. Well, we'll form a Blue Ribbon Task Force. Oh, great, you know, and they never meet. I really don't know much about this group. I don't think it was necessary. You know, it wasn't necessary under previous mayoral administrations because the stakeholders and the advocates that exist within the downtown business community have always been well organized. They've always had access to City Hall. They've always had the ear of the mayor because the work they do is so important to all of us. You know, so to rebrand it and create it under another name, you know, it just it's moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic. It really isn't necessary. This administration has not been focused on downtown. And I can tell you that is, you know, one of the two aldermen that represents downtown. We're just not his priority. We're not this administration's priority, and it really shows in a moment like this.
Well, as downtown goes, so go the neighborhoods, and I'll be glad to tell that to Mayor Brandon Johnson if he accepts our invitation to come on here with us. There are hopeful signs. The Sun-Times points that out today. The Thompson Center turning into a headquarters for Google, the planned revival of LaSalle Street. Fulton Market is getting close to being packed to capacity. Maybe some of that activity can spread downtown. We can only hope. Alderman Brian Hopkins, I appreciate you being with us this morning, and thank you also for being a very good representative of our city and our downtown.
Thank you, Bob. Always glad to have the chance to talk to you.